Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I appreciate so much you listening to this gospel broadcast. And I pray that it might be profitable to your spiritual life and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with Almighty God. I wish to continue to discuss Paul's preaching in the city of Thessalonica. As we have noticed, Paul is writing two epistles. He addresses these epistles to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of their relationship with God and Jesus Christ in the church, they have the blessings of grace and peace bestowed upon them. The Apostle Paul has proclaimed the gospel in the city of Thessalonica. The preaching of the gospel was recorded for us in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. And then following that preaching later in time, Paul writes two letters to this church. In this first letter, as we have noticed, he discusses his preaching the gospel and the manner in which the gospel was received. He continues in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 and says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." When Paul preached the gospel to the Thessalonians, he did not preach the gospel in deceit, or uncleanness, or in guile. He did not preach of deceit. He did not wish to deceive them. He wished to inform them of the truthfulness of the gospel so that they might be saved. Deceit will not save the soul. Sometimes deceit will comfort us. Sometimes deceit will please us. There are some, perhaps, who would rather hear deceit than truth. But only the truth will save. The gospel must be proclaimed in truth. And so Paul said, "I did not preach of deceit." In Romans 16, at verses 17 and 18, this same apostle had written to the Roman church, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good deeds and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Paul tells the church that there were a group of people who were among them whose intent was to deceive them. They were telling them untruth. They were preaching to them error. As you view the religious landscape of today, you can see that there is much error being taught in the world. There were those in Rome who were preaching error. And Paul said they needed to remove those people from them. They needed to mark them because they were causing divisions and offenses due to the error which they preached. The message that they proclaimed was contrary to the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells them that they had learned this doctrine, and now they must avoid those who preached something other than what they had learned, because these people did not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They served themselves. Those who preach deceit only serve themselves. They do not serve the Lord, because the Lord Jesus Christ wants only the gospel proclaimed. He wants only truth proclaimed. In Ephesians 4 and verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Even in the Ephesian church, there was the danger of deceit. There were those who would lie in wait. They would use cunning craftiness so that they might deceive. And Paul said that the time had come that the Ephesian Christians should be no longer children in the faith, but rather they should become grown in the faith, and they should establish themselves in the doctrine of Christ. They should not listen to every wind of doctrine that blew. We must not listen to every doctrine that is preached. We must listen only to the truth. We must not be deceived by the error of preaching, but rather we must be saved by the truth of preaching. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." Paul urges that they do not handle the word of God deceitfully. The word of God must be handled in truth. The word of God must be proclaimed in truth. The word of God must be believed in truth. Colossians 2 and verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." If we do not follow Christ, if we do not hear the gospel of Christ, then we cannot be saved. We will be ruined. And so we must beware. We must take notice of the danger that there is the philosophy of men, there is the tradition of men, there are those things that are in the world that are proclaimed, and the soul is deceived, and the heart is not saved. Paul said, "I did not preach in deceit, nor did I preach in uncleanness." The gospel is a message that is to reform us. The gospel is a message that is to change us. In the world, we live in uncleanness. We live in impurity. We live in sin. If we follow the world and the fashion of the world and seek to be as the world and allow the thinking of the world, the philosophy of the world, to dictate the manner of life that we live, then we live in uncleanness. In Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world." That simply means do not be fashioned as the world. Do not become like the world. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed, but be transformed. The gospel transforms us. The gospel changes our heart so that our life will be changed. We do not follow the path of uncleanness and impurity. We seek to remove ourselves from the sinfulness and the filthiness of the world and become as pure as God is pure. The God of heaven is a God of purity. God has always sought that His people be a purified people, an unworldly people. He has declared unto them, even to the Israelite nation that was brought out of bondage by Moses, that they were to be a pure and a clean people. They were to be a transformed, changed, converted people. We must be converted when we hear the gospel. The gospel must change our thinking and change our life. And we must not follow the lifestyle of the world. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, Peter tells those who have accepted the gospel that they are to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings. All of these activities or thinkings are the ways of sin. They mar the character of an individual. They cause one to be as the world. We are sinful if we perform these things and live after this manner. And so the Apostle Peter says you must lay those aside. It's the gospel of cleanliness. The gospel makes us clean. When we obey the gospel, our sins are purged, they're washed away. We are renewed in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did no sin. Jesus lived above sin, beyond sin. He was not enticed by the devil. He did not seek to be as the world nor please the world by living a lifestyle that was characteristic of the world, but rather he sought to be that converted child of God who developed the character of God and lived in holiness and purity. In Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. You remember from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we spoke about the election of God, how God had elected us through the gospel, chosen us through the gospel. God chooses us and we choose Him through the gospel of Christ. And therefore we become the elect of God. And because of that we are the elect, we are to put on holy and beloved. We are holy. We are beloved of God. God has loved us. We are saved because of God's great love. The gospel has come to us because of the love of God. And so put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. The gospel is a gospel of cleanliness, not of uncleanness. Paul said, I did not preach a gospel of uncleanness. And then he says, I did not preach in guile. He did not seek to ensnare them or lie to them or deceive them. When one speaks in guile, he speaks in deceit. He lies. The truth is not in him. The gospel is a word of truth. The gospel saves our soul because we believe the truth and respond to the truth and accept the truth. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, he that will love life, we're to love life. Life is a blessing from God, and we are to treat life as a blessing from God. We are to serve God in this life because of the blessing of life that He has given us. The purpose of our life is to glorify God. We are here to be an instrument of good for God and do what is right and pleasing unto God. We're not to live in guile and deceit and lying. He that will love life and see good days. We want our days to be good. We want to live in goodness. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Don't speak lies, falsehoods. Speak truth. If you're going to love life and if you're going to have good days, then we must refrain our tongue from evil and our lips that they speak no guile. We must follow the directive that God has given so that God will bless us in this life and God will help us to live a life that is good and that is pleasing and that is acceptable unto Him. God wants to bless our life. God wants to do for us what will enhance our life and bring comfort and pleasure and happiness to our life, but not through sinfulness, through a refrain from speaking guile, lies, falsehood. We do not seek to ensnare people. Paul said, I would not ensnare you as you would ensnare an animal in a trap. I did not come in guile. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, Paul is talking about the converted man in Ephesians chapter 4. And he says, wherefore, with putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We live in a community of people, and therefore we are to be truthful with one another. We're not to seek to ensnare one another with guile. The gospel is not a message preached in guile. The gospel is a message of truth that will deliver the soul from sin and will save the soul. Galatians 4 and verse 16, Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Do you not want to hear the word of truth rather than the word of error? Paul was telling them the truth. They were going to have to make some changes in their life because of what they believed, because of the manner of life that they lived. This is the message of the gospel. The gospel teaches us that we must change. If we're living in a sinful way, then we must begin to live in an unsinful way. If we're following the devil, we must cease to follow the devil and we must follow Christ. But that's the message that we must hear. And so Paul said, if I tell you the truth, am I going to be your enemy? You don't want to hear the truth. Paul's message was a message of truthfulness. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, he said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. The truth is to be preached in love. We love the souls of people. We tell you the truth because we love your soul. We preach the truth because God loves your soul. God delivered a message of truth, and that message must be preached in truth so that you can hear that word and obey that word, receive that word into your hearts so that you might be saved. The message which Paul preached was a message not of deceit, not of uncleanness, not in guile. And Paul said, I did not preach to please men. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. God has entrusted us with the gospel. That's a sacred trust. Those who are put in trust of the gospel must treat that gospel with care and with love. We must be truthful in what we preach because the message is from God. And we do not please men in preaching the gospel. The gospel does not always please people. You recall in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul remarked that the gospel had been received in much affliction. And you remember back in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was preaching the gospel in Thessalonica, that there were those who did not want to hear that gospel, and they sought to remove Paul from the city, and they persecuted those who believed the gospel. There are people who do not want to hear the truth of the gospel. They want a gospel that pleases them. Paul talks to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, urges him, preach the gospel, preach the word. Because the time will come when men will not desire to hear the gospel. They will desire to hear that which will please them, that which will entertain them, that which will allow them to live as they are living and yet be comfortable in that lifestyle. There are some who would prefer to hear a lie than they would to hear the truth. Paul said, I'm not preaching to please men. I preach to please God. Why? God tries our hearts. God knows what we preach. God knows whether or not His gospel is being proclaimed. God knows the heart that hears the gospel and receives the gospel. God knows everything about us, and He tries our hearts. Paul said, I preach the gospel to please God because I've been put in trust by God with the gospel, and He's going to try my heart. In Galatians 1, in verse 10, Paul said, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Is it possible to please men? Is it possible to preach a message where all men will be pleased? I don't think so. I think that people are so fickle. And they change their minds so often, and they change their attitudes, and they change their personalities, and they change their dispositions, and it's impossible to please them all the time. Paul said, I didn't try to please men. I sought to please God. I must please God in preaching because this is God's word. This is God's gospel. This is not my gospel. Talks from the Bible come from the Bible. They do not come from my own thinking, my opinions, my prejudices, my training. They come from the Bible. The Bible must be preached. The Bible must be heard. The gospel is a message that does not please us, but rather it pleases God. And when God is pleased with the gospel message, and we're willing to hear that message and receive that message, God will save our soul. Paul said, I did not preach with flattering words, did not use flattery. 1 Thessalonians 2:5, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. God was witness to the preaching of Paul. God is witness to the preaching of humanity today. God knows what every preacher preaches, what every preacher teaches, what every heart hears, what every ear hears, and what every heart believes. And so Paul said, I did not seek to flatter you. I did not seek to entertain you. In John 12 and verse 43, Jesus spoke of some who had not received him. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They'd rather hear men praise them than God praise them. But the man that praises you today may not praise you tomorrow. The man that flatters you today may not flatter you tomorrow. And so the gospel must be a message of consistency with the truth of God. Don't use flattering words to try to please people and entertain people, but to preach the simple gospel message so that the soul can be saved. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22, there's a problem in Corinth. Sometimes the church has problems, but God deals with those problems. The church in Corinth had some problems, and Paul deals with those problems. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they're having a problem with the partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is that part of our worship that we offer to God on the first day of the week. The Lord's Supper is the remembrance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the sins of humanity, so that his church could be established. And so we come together on the first day of the week and we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. We take the unleavened bread and we take the fruit of the vine, the cup. And that is instituted by Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. And the church in Corinth is observing that, but they're not observing it in the manner that God wanted them to do. And so Paul is trying to solve that problem. He said, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Preachers cannot praise people in wrongdoing. They must tell them of their error. I must make you aware of your sin. I must make myself aware of my sin, and I must make you aware of your sin in preaching. Cannot preach in flattering words simply to please and to entertain. I must speak the truth. I must speak it in love because I care about your soul and want you to be saved, but I must preach the truth. Paul did not use a cloak of covetousness in preaching the gospel. He did not preach so that he might be benefited, but rather he preached so that he could benefit others. In Acts 20 and verse 33, he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul did not preach because he was going to receive someone's silver or gold or apparel. Paul did not preach so that his physical needs would be met. That was not the purpose of his preaching. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, he said, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you." I don't seek what you have. I'm not preaching so that I might be blessed with your physical necessities. I seek you. The gospel is preached so that souls can be saved, not so that the preacher can be benefited. Now, of course, preacher's needs must be taken care of, and he must be supplied with some physical necessities because of preaching. But the reason for preaching must be the love of the human soul and the desire that that soul be saved. And so Paul said, "I did not come to you in flattering words. I did not come with a cloak of covetousness." And he imparted unto them the gospel. He preached the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 and 9. "So being effectually desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." Paul came to Thessalonica not so that his physical needs might be met, so that he might not be praised, but rather so that he might impart unto them the gospel. The gospel must be taught. The gospel must be preached. If humanity is going to be saved, the gospel of Christ must be proclaimed. He said, "I was effectually desirous of you, willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but my own soul, because you were dear unto us." Those to whom preachers preach the gospel are dear unto them, because the soul is so precious. And surely every preacher of the gospel ought to have a love for souls and a desire to save the soul. Paul said, "I preached unto you the gospel of God." In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I did not seek to be wise among you, but rather I sought simply to impart unto you the gospel," to preach the gospel. The gospel is a simple message. Now, the gospel does require some study and some meditation, some serious thinking, in order to fully understand its truth. But we preach the gospel in simplicity and in love. Paul said, "Christ has sent me to preach the gospel." The purpose of the gospel is to be preached so that it can save the soul. And then Paul mentions the benefit of the gospel to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, "For as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory." The gospel exhorts, the gospel comforts, the gospel charges. It exhorts us to be better. It comforts us in our distress and in our sorrow. And it charges us to move forward and to continue to embrace the truth of the gospel. God does this just as a father or parents would do their children. And the purpose of this exhortation, this comfort, and this charge is so that we might walk worthy of God. He has called us into his kingdom and his glory. And the gospel was received by the Thessalonians. They received it. They believed it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." the gospel is the word of God. The Thessalonians had heard the gospel. They had believed the gospel. They had received the gospel. And they were the church in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ with the blessing of grace and peace. Will you not do the same? Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.